Welcome to Facing Fear with Sarah. My name is Sarah McInerney Hawk. I am your host. I went from 30 flirty and thriving to 30 flirty and surviving. I was diagnosed with breast cancer at age 30, and prior to that, I had faced a lot of fears in life, which led me to creating this podcast in 2019. Fast forward, here we are many years later, and I've interviewed over 100 different guests with many stories of how they face fear while remaining unapologetically authentic. That is what we are here to do, encourage you to live your life unapologetically and authentically. The Facing Fear world recently got a little bit bigger because a new part of it is in the world, and that's my book, my very first book. It's called Does Carcinoma Mean Cancer? It covers the 4 days between being tested for cancer and finding out that I had it, and the funny things that happened in between. Well, you know, funny, happy, sad, etc. It can be found anywhere on Amazon, and it's a graphic memoir, which means it is 70% art, 30% text, and it's 74 pages long. So it's something you could read in one sitting, revisit multiple times because the art has a lot of dual meanings, and I'm so proud of it. Go check it out on Amazon or facingfearwithsarah.com/book. All right, let's get into this week's episode. Welcome back to the Facing Fear podcast. You are listening with me, your host, Sarah. On this podcast, I talk to individuals who have stared down their fears and are living unapologetically authentic lives and defining success on their own terms. You can expect vulnerable stories and realistic tools of how you can do the same. Today's episode, I'm really excited for because, as I've mentioned before, I'm usually going after my guests, or I've kind of like sought somebody out who's a friend of a friend or a connection. This guest actually came to me through an agency because he is fancy like that. His name is Josh Coates. A little bit more about Josh. After making only 2 sales in his entire first year as a life coach, he went to social media and created a brand and following that allowed him to walk away from his day job in year 2. Goals, am I right? Since then, he has built a multi-million-dollar business, training, mentoring, and coaching other entrepreneurs and coaches. So if you are looking for a pep in your step, some motivation today, you have got it right here with my guest. He is also a #1 best-selling author of F Leadership, How to Motivate and Mentor Your Team to True Success, and the host of his own podcast called Your Push Coach. In this episode, Josh lets us in on a little bit of his personal life. He tells us how he rose from being someone who was detailing cars every single day to now working from home in his multi-million dollar business. And if that's not the American dream, I really don't know what is. This episode will provide you some much needed motivation to finish the year strong because, yeah, as scary as it is, we are closing in on the year. So this is a really good listen if you need some uplifting content, something to help push you towards your goals, and to listen to some incredible stories from Josh. I'm very thankful he got as vulnerable as he did and shared those with us. This episode is brought to you by the MPAC and Little Viper, 2 of my favorite facing fear tools. The MPAC is an invention created by one of my fitness idols, Emily Schramm, because she was frustrated with all the equipment available that doesn't allow you to travel. So the MPAC uses water as weight, which means you fill it up upon arrival to your destination and you can dump it out so you can get on that airplane or get back in your car and not have to lug around 50 pounds. Her MPAC can be used as a kettlebell, dumbbell, barbell, or even weighted backpack if you're a hiker and want to step up your game. Visit evolvedmotion.com/Sarah Mack and enter code EMPOWER for 10% off your MPAC. The Little Viper is a discreet pepper spray that is a wristband about the average size of your fitness tracker, so it blends right into whatever fitness gear you usually bring with you. It is a pepper spray brand that allows you to adventure, walk your dog, walk your children, whatever you're doing outside, whether you're alone or not, it allows you to have a little bit more protection. This $20 investment is perfect for everyone. This $20 investment is perfect for everyone, and they also make great gifts. So make sure to check out littleviper.com and use code SarahMC for a discount on your purchase.
What's going on, guys? My name is Josh Coates. I am a push coach, number one bestseller of a book called F Leadership. What I mostly do, Sarah, is I grow their business. So that's who I am. I've got four kids. I've got a beautiful, beautiful girlfriend. We just built this house in January, so we just moved in right before quarantine.
I came across, well, actually, Josh came to me sort of through an agency that he works with, and they pitched him as a guest on my show. And as you all know, as my wonderful listeners, I'm very picky with who I have on the show. And so Josh is definitely someone who I don't know personally, but I'm really excited. And after doing my research, thought that he would be a great fit for the show. So thanks again for being on the Facing Fear podcast with me.
Well, I'm excited to be here because fear is one of my favorite things to talk about.
I'm
ready to dive in on this.
Okay, so let's start at the beginning. In your first year as an entrepreneur, when you were a life coach, you only made two sales. So tell us about that time and what that felt like.
It sucked. It was the worst. Little bit of a background before that, I had spent 10 years basically detailing cars full time and traveling, playing in a rock band on the weekends. When I went in on life coaching, it was basically my music career had kind of come to an end, you know, wasn't going anywhere. I just started listening to hours upon hours upon hours worth of podcasts. I didn't want to go back to school, wasn't into college, didn't want to do any of that stuff. I was like, I just got to learn something if I don't want to detail cars the rest of my life. And as a result, at that time, had started my own podcast, not knowing what I was doing, just sharing things that I was excited about, right? And that's when I came across John Maxwell on a podcast, found out he had a certification program where it was like, oh, we're going to teach you how to build a business around personal growth. And I was just like, I didn't know that was a thing. I thought I was the first one who had an idea. I mean, this was 6 years ago, but it definitely was not the scene it is today. I kind of thought I was the first one that had the idea. So when I saw J-Max was training people for this, I was like, well, shit, if I want to be good at this, I need to learn from the best, right? So I signed up, went through a certification, and he was like, hey, just get out there and just go for it. Just start practicing. Invite people out for coffee, you know, and just practice what you're learning. And so I went from listening to 8 hours of podcasts a day to listening to 8 hours of my life coach training per day. And so my first year was just about mastering the art of life coaching, speaking, leadership training, all of that. But I didn't know how to sell it or market it, or I didn't know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's super common for entrepreneurs is we get something we're really passionate about, something we're really excited about, and we can do it really well, but we don't know how to make money.
I'm actually kind of at that stage where I'm just now beginning to dip my toes into consulting other people on how to build their own show. And then I just pitched a company to be a sponsor. So I'm hoping to hear back from them soon. But yeah, there is a lot of fear in that.
Yeah. And that's a scary thing, especially if you grew up poor like me. You know, I grew up with no money ever. So the only time I ever asked for money was when I was desperate and needed someone's help. And I work with a lot of network marketers, and for them, it's all about selling and recruiting. And I think that a lot of people start off, they don't really know how to sell. So we ask people for help. And that's not the position you want to be in. But that's where I was the whole first year. I didn't really know how to demand my value and tell someone, yo, this is what I have to offer. This will change your life. This is what you should do.
It's worth.
Yeah. It was more was this helpful? Do you think you would want to do this again sometime? You know what I mean? And in the first year, the problem was it was all friends and family. I was good. That's the thing that sucks. I was so good at it. I knew how to meet someone for coffee and within 15 minutes have them talking about their goals and their dreams and their desires. But I didn't have the kind of relationship with them that I was going to be someone that they were going to pay money to. Put on a couple events, had the same problem, had a bunch of friends and family show up. No one that was going to give me money, even though I did a great, I look back to my first presentation, I'm like, man, that was so good. I don't know if I've ever given a presentation as good as that one. Because I was so scared. I mean, I overplanned. I must have gone over that thing. Must have gone over that presentation 30 or 40 times.
That's when, like, you can use fear to drive you to overplan and overprepare, but you can't live in fear all the time like that. So
Right. I spent my whole first year basically, Sarah, meeting people for coffee. I was detailing cars full time, so I kept a backpack in my back seat that had a towel, a clean pair of underwear, a decent pair of jeans, and like a dress shirt and dress shoes. And I would literally, I kid you not, get done detailing cars 100 degrees out, go into the work bathroom with my towel, get it wet, and kind of give myself like a towel off to get all the sweat off, put some fresh deo on, throw some nice clothes on, and walk out and drive
to
the Starbucks.
The next thing.
Somebody. Yeah.
Did you ever want to quit during that time?
Oh, every day.
Really? What kept you
every
going?
Every single day. A couple things for me. First of all, I hated detailing cars with a passion. I mean, I've always been someone that had like a drive to do something bigger. Didn't know that money would ever be involved, to be honest. Like, that wasn't even on my brain. I just wanted to do something that was fulfilling, that was exciting. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so like playing music did that for me. And so when that didn't work out for me, 30-year-old who has knees going out on them. Now, I'm not a professional athlete. I'm detailing cars and making barely enough money to get by. Mm-hmm. So one, I can't do this for the rest of my life. Two, I at the time had 3 kids. Now I have 4. And I was so sick and tired of passing my poverty off to them. Was just to the point where was, you know, checking bank account before getting groceries, adding up everything that we put in the cart. And that wasn't the worst part. The worst part was kids want to go out to eat on Sunday with their cousins. Sorry, guys. Daddy doesn't have the money. Kids want to go to a birthday party. Sorry, daddy can't afford to buy your friend a present. Like what? Like even now I think back and I'm like, dude, why didn't you just go to the dollar store? Such a limit on my capacity to think about anything creative in my life, because I had just been so used to barely getting by, barely paying the bills, almost getting evicted. And I was like, I refuse to let my kids grow up thinking that this is normal, because if I do, this is one of the things I say all the time, the demons that we refuse to face, we pass off to our children. So for me, it was like, honestly, Sarah, I told you in our kind of like, you know, our little chit chat before we got on here, grew up in a very religious home, had this really strong, like very strong negative belief. I don't think it's a positive way to look at life, but it's what I had then, which was you're either like in God's will or you were like completely in sin. That made it hard for me to make decisions, because now everything you do is fear-based, right?
Yeah.
Like feeling like I'm not sure if this is really what God wants me to do.
Yeah.
And that means this might be the wrong thing to do. For anyone out there who grew up like me, like this is the advice I give to you. I had to use a little bit of logic, which is a life coaching practice, actually, to like, let's remove from the emotions.
Yeah.
Let's look at the numbers on the paper. Okay. And I said, here I am at 30 years old, telling my kids they can't go to birthday parties, having to hope and pray that my mom buys my kids clothes for school because I didn't have the money to buy them school. Is it possible that this isn't God's best? Like, if I really do believe in this guy I call God, is this really his best? And this thing with the John Maxwell team allows me to help people, to get them clarity and direction in their life and help them pursue their goals and their dreams and their destiny. Like, where's the bad in this?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I just literally had to be like, God, if this is wrong, I'm sorry, but I'm just not going to sit still any longer and hope and pray that destiny comes and finds me. Like, I'm going to go do something. And I had to say that prayer almost daily.
Yeah.
Like, I had to almost daily, in a sense, re-repent, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Almost give myself like just the liberty to like one day today, I'm gonna go after this thing and just see where, and I had to take it kind of one day at a time with kind of like no expectations of where it was going to go or how long it was going to take or any of that stuff. And it was hard. And it probably took me 6 months to get to the point where I personally believe, Sarah, if you just stick with it long enough, eventually you kind of have like this breakthrough where those thoughts and those beliefs and those fears finally realize, okay, like this person is not stopping. So like, it's kind of like a fight. Like who's going to give up first? And when your fears can see you ain't getting out of the way, they're like, okay, well, this isn't worth my time. Consistency breeds confidence. So if you can show up enough days in a row, even if you don't make any money, like again, I didn't make any money, but I was getting enough wins. I was hearing people say, oh my God, you're so good at this. I was hearing people say, Josh, I think you were literally born to do this. And I was having spiritual authorities that were like, Josh, this is incredible. Like you have a gift. Like this is literally what you were born to. And so that gave me like kind of almost what felt like God's permission, yeah, if you will. If you show up enough, you start to get some of those responses, even if you don't get the money. And you got to use those responses along with what you want and who you want to help. I think for me, that's what I teach my clients. Like you got to know what you want for your family and who you want to help in the world. And if you can get a hold of those two things, nothing in the world can stop you.
And I told Josh, like, yeah, you're on here to be an interview and to inspire the guests, but I know you're going to kick my butt a little bit. And some of the things that you're saying have like come true for me as well. It is really hard to stay consistent, but it does build confidence. So I definitely need to make the jump off the cliff in the next year, year and a half, 2 years maybe, but I'm getting there.
That's too far away.
I know.
So I wear this on my wrist and the hashtag says, let's puke together.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because I saw that recently and I was like, whoa, I don't know if I can get with that kind of fitness because that's not what I'm trying to do. So yeah, tell us about that.
Yeah, so it's not a fitness thing at all.
Okay.
Not a fitness thing that's at all. Good. So here's what happened. When I changed my name from Life Coach to Push Coach, one of the things that I really started teaching was I was looking at the clients that I had helped have the most success. A couple of different girls in network marketing go like top 10 in their entire companies of like 300,000 people in their company. They went like top 10. I'd help tons of other people like it hit like the top 1%. And yet I had tons of other people that had paid me a lot of money that had never really like had much happen. And so I sat down. I was like, okay, what's the difference between like the people that like went crazy and the people that are just still chilling? And when I really started thinking about it, the people that their businesses blew up when they worked with me were people who came to me and on the first day were like, here's the thing, Josh, I have this goal. And I don't even know if I can say it out loud. I'm scared, but I know it's something I want to do. I know it's something I need to do. I don't know if it's possible. Can you help me do it? And every single time I was like, absolutely. Like, let's go. This is what I get excited about. And so what I realized was the people who had these goals that scared them, these goals that like, I don't even know if I can say it out loud. Those were the people who had the most results. And so I started teaching urgency, which is if you don't have a goal in front of your face with a short deadline, then what you do is you give yourself too much wiggle room. You give yourself too much space to just, you know, Grant Cardone says, if you want to find the devil, just leave white space on your calendar. He'll come find you. And that's what happens when you don't have an urgent goal, when it's like, you know, we'll get to it maybe a year from now, maybe 2 years from now. Problem with that is that gives you way too much time to not have to grow. If instead it's in the next 3 months, okay, but then let's scale it back to 1 month and then let's scale it back to per week. So that means I got to show up like this week and I got to have some conversations and I got to have some consultations and I got to get my ass in gear. I started telling people, you got to take your monthly goal and make it your weekly goal. And when I started saying that, that's when call after call after call after call, people would say things like, I literally feel like I'm going to vomit writing that down. And I was like, well, let's puke together then. I mean, like, if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. But I think that when your goal, when it's something that scares you so bad that you feel like you're going to vomit, because what just happened is you just triggered something in your subconscious mind that woke it up and made it realize the kind of focus and intensity you're going to have to give this project for that to actually happen. Because if you don't have focus or intensity, like that's the thing is, I definitely don't work more hours than other people. I just work with a focus and intensity that gets bigger results than what other people get while they're checking their notifications and making rap videos for their stories. Like, I'm over here focusing on what's going to put money in my pocket and what's going to move our business forward, because my goal made me do that.
I hope you're enjoying this episode with Josh. It's one of the most motivational episodes ever, I know, so I'll be quick here. As you know, I launched my merchandise shop, and I'm super excited about that. And I wanted to let you know, if you're thinking about getting a piece of merchandise, now is the time, because Josh and I are partnering to do a little giveaway to benefit both Facing Fear and his world as well. And of course, you, the winner. So what you'll need to do is, from now, from September 28th until October 16th, head over to facingfearwithsarah.com, go check out the merchandise shop, pick out something you'd like, purchase that, and you'll be entered to win Josh's book. So not only could you be sporting and sharing Facing Fear with the world, but you also could win Josh's incredible book on top of it. So go ahead and check out facingfearwithsarah.com, click on the merch, and check out something. Give yourself a little purchase, a little treat yourself. And from now until September 16th, if you make a purchase, you will be entered to win Josh's book. So let's go back to John Maxwell a little bit. So will you just, like, elevator speech, if somebody doesn't know who he is and what his leadership is about, tell us?
New York Times bestselling author of several books. He's actually written 90 plus personal growth books, lots of them on leadership, voted by Inc. magazine, I think something like 10 years in a row as leader of the year. So he is like the guru on leadership.
Okay.
If you're going to have somebody speak on leadership, if you're going to recommend a leadership book, like, John Maxwell is literally the name that everyone thinks of first.
So I don't know if this is a Maxwell quote or you said this, but on one of the podcasts that I listened to you on, you said, "Stop asking how long it will take and start asking how far I can go." Can you talk a little bit about why you encourage people to do that or think way?
Yeah, so it is a John Maxwell quote.
Okay.
And it's a John Maxwell quote that kind of changed my life. So I have two specific things that I will tell you that really set me free my first year. One of the things was John Maxwell's philosophy around sometimes you win, sometimes you learn. If you're like me and had that big time, huge fear of failure or doing the wrong thing, that philosophy changed my life. And he wrote a whole book about it that made me realize, like, the only way to learn is to fail. Like, you don't ride a bike by studying it or thinking about it or praying about it. You just have to get on the thing and fall off a couple times. And what happens is your body naturally evolves. Like, it's not like you even know, like, you don't get on a bike and you're like, you know what? I think I needed to use more of my calf muscle that time. I think you really honestly don't even know. All you know is that every time you get on, you're a little bit stronger, a little bit more balanced, and eventually it works out, right? And so that became my philosophy in year one, was first of all to stop worrying about failing and instead make it my goal to fail. The only goal I had in year one was fail as many times as I possibly could. Because if that's the only way to learn, then, like, I got to get on this, like, because I suck. I don't know what I'm doing. So, like, let's fail now, get it over with so I can learn the lessons and move on. And then the second thing was, that how long am I going to have to detail cars by day, be a life coach by night? And yes, I think every entrepreneur struggles, like, how long is this going to take? And then J Max said that. He said, when I first started, I asked myself, how long is this going to take? But the longer I went, the more I began to ask instead, how far can I go? And you know, people use the word genuine, like, way out of context. Sometimes people say that they don't feel genuine if they have to start a bunch of conversations just for the sake of trying to make a sale. And to me, like, I'm being genuine when I think about my purpose and my potential. And if I can find a way to come back to my purpose and my, that's like the core of me. Like, that's what makes me who I am. And just the question, how far can I go, immediately takes me to a space of potential. Because I think that all of us, regardless of what fears we have about what we can or can't do this year, I think when we think about 10 or 15 years from now and what we believe we were born to do, like, you wouldn't even be listening to this podcast unless there was something in you that was like, I think I can do something with my life. And that's why we listen to podcasts, to feed that part of you, because the more you feed it, the more aware you become of it, the more aware you become of it, the more you pursue it, right? There's this magical thing when you give yourself the time and the space. So this is kind of like the flip side of the coin of urgency. So urgency is, I'm going to put something right in front of my face that makes me show up today. But then asking myself, how far can I go, is what alleviates some of the pressure to realize that even if I can't make that happen, that doesn't really matter, because the goal was not necessarily to hit that goal. The goal was just to keep myself focused long enough to eventually get to the place that I want to go. Like, let's just be real. People go to college for 4 years to learn how to get a starting job, yep. Right? So I'm going to give this 5 years. And if at the end of 5 years, you lift your head up and look around and realize you still haven't grown, you still haven't made any money, and you still suck, then you have my permission to quit and just say for the rest of your life, I tried, and I guess I just don't have what it takes. But until that moment, you are not taking any breaks. You're not taking a step back. You are head down in the water, swimming as hard and as fast as you possibly can for 5 years.
And what year are you on now?
So now I'm years, six, it's like six and right? a half now. Yeah, yeah.
That's yeah.
And,
awesome.
And what's crazy is because of that, Sarah, by the end of my second year, I quit my full-time job, had my first $10,000 a month. Here's what's really frustrating, Sarah. Somebody's going to hear this and be like, well, I've been doing this for 5 years and I haven't taken off yet. And I have to ask that person, did you have your head down for five straight years without stepping back, without taking breaks? Because what I find is there's a lot of people out there that have been signed up for 5 years, but they've taken 2 to 3 months off here, 2 to 3 months off there. And the thing I always say about growth and momentum is you can't call time out on growth or momentum. Like, you're either going up, or by default, gravity is causing you to slide back down. It's like the compound effect has built up so much momentum and so many connections. It's just like it explodes all at once, and you can't even explain it. Like, if you were to ask me today, Josh, how do you make the kind of money that you make? I would say, I have no clue. How I average more money per month than I used to make in a year, I have no idea how it accumulated to that. To me, that's stupid. Like, I don't even understand that, right? But that's the power of this consistency game, working into your confidence, getting more wins and more wins and more wins. If we have any sports fans, if you watch the Michael Jordan oh God, I love Michael Jordan so much. Like, homeboy spent his whole first several years just losing, but he was building confidence by winning dunk contests, averaging the most points per game. And he just kept putting wins on top of wins on top of wins on top of wins. And so one day he's the greatest player to ever live.
So you've written a book, as you mentioned, called F Leadership, How to Motivate and Mentor Your Team to Success. Tell us a little bit about the process of writing a book. That's definitely a goal that I have in the future, so I'd be curious to know a little bit more.
Yeah, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that much. It's exhausting. Well, because for me, I'm a natural talker. You can ask me any question in the world, and as long as it's something I'm passionate about and something I've experienced, I mean, I can just go for hours, mm-hmm. right? But but a book's different, because you got to think about, okay, does this grammatically make sense? Does it fit with the other 15 chapters that I'm going to write? Like what order do I really want? So it's essentially like writing. If you could imagine, it's like writing a 15-hour presentation. All of this has to come together into one like entity. Yeah, it's really hard, but it's also like the most satisfying thing ever. Because I feel like by the end of it, I had found a way to put almost anything and everything I've ever said in a webinar, presentation, training, somehow it all collectively like came together into one piece.
What drove you to want to write a book, actually?
So once I signed up for the John Maxwell team, I started being assigned books instead of podcasts, started reading books and just loved books.
Yeah, same.
Love. I did not grow up reading at all. Do not like to read for fun. Okay. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to learning, I think the thing that I loved about books was kind of like exactly what we're talking about. Here's a guy who's going to take this one topic or this one subject and give me like an entire life study on it, as opposed to a 30-minute interview where he's limited to what he can say, right? So it's like going on a journey with someone. I either love it and I'm all in on it and I'm going to do whatever I have to do to have that, or I'm not really into that, so I'm not going to give it any time or energy at all. Like, yeah, that's just, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I want someone to have this kind of a connection with me. And also playing music for 10 years, I wrote a lot of the music that I played. So like writing was just like a part of who I already was.
Yeah, that's cool. Right? That's awesome.
And books are just magical. Like I obviously have several copies of my own book sitting around for giving out to people. And I still, every time I think about it, I just feel so proud.
But why the title F Leadership?
In the specific space that I'm in with a lot of network marketers, they're really good a lot of times at selling their products and talking about their products. But when it comes to recruiting someone to be on their team, now all of a sudden this really weird thing happens. But the second you take someone under your wing and say, hey, you're going to join my team and I'm going to train you, we have this weird word that comes in called leader. I'm going to be your leader and I'm going to show you the way. And what happens is all of your insecurities come out, because then you feel like you have some type of responsibility for this person's success. And now all of a sudden it goes from the products delivering on their promise of getting results to now you having to back the promise of I can help you make sales, make income, all of this stuff. People, instead of just saying, hey, this is what I've done, so this is what I can help you do. I can't promise you any more than that, but I can help you do this. Instead of that, they get so focused on what other people are doing, people that are more successful than them, people that are making more money than them, that they start compare what they have to offer to what other people have to offer. And as a result, they end up saying things to me like, Josh, I just don't know if I'm a very good leader. And this word leader just starts getting thrown around. And as a life coach, one of my favorite things to do is say, can I ask you something? What's your definition of a leader? And what I find is that if you just ask someone simple questions, draw out the issues of the heart, we get away from the head and into the heart. They'll be like, well, I think a leader is someone with good character, someone who leads by example, someone who does what they say, someone who wants to help people. I'm like, okay, which one of those are you missing? And it's like they realize I was taking the word leader and turning it into something that it wasn't. And what's really happening, I believe, is that due to social media, people are seeing these leaders that have over time become celebrities. And instead of comparing their leadership to this person, they're really comparing their celebrity. What they're really saying is, I'm not enough of a celebrity to help people. And so that's the whole point of the F Leadership. It's kind of like, guys, I'm sick and tired of everyone taking this word out of context, making it something that it really isn't at all. Like, let's just get back to the core principles of what we actually believe leadership is.
Before we wrap up, is there anything that I didn't ask or you wanted to share with the audience?
Would you mind if I just did a little, like, a couple minute rant on fear?
Yeah, totally. Go for it.
I want to teach you the most valuable thing I've ever learned about fear that I actually learned on a podcast back before I went through my training or anything. And this guy was talking about how fear is basically a reaction in our subconscious mind to anything that is undiscovered or unconquered. Basically what it does is shoots alarms through our entire body trying to warn us that there could be danger. I like to actually call it, I've kind of created this analogy, it's like our internal smoke detector. And if you think about a house, when there's smoke detector goes off, okay? But you don't grab all of your belongings and loved ones and run and like jump out into the like front yard and call 911. Like, you don't do that. Stop, you look around, you collect data, you try to figure out what's the source. If there was one thing that I could pick to be taught in school from what I've learned, it would be this. And it would be how to understand your internal alarms. Like, let's be real. If there's a fire detector, if there's a smoke detector going off inside your brain, it makes it almost impossible to move forward. And if you don't learn how to turn it off, you end up spending a lot of time and energy trying to act over the top of it or talk over the just positive affirmations do not work because they're not going to turn. You have to get down to collecting evidence and creating logic. So for instance, if you're scared to death of, you know, jumping out there with your business and charging money, the smoke detector is going to go off because you've never done that before and it's scared to death. And if you grew up religious like me, you think that maybe it's God. If you're not religious, maybe you think it's the universe speaking to you or whatever it is. It feels so strong. It feels like this can't just be me. Like this has to be something beyond me, right? Just an alarm trying to get you to stop and find out, is it safe or is it not safe? 99 times out of 100, there is no real threat. You just need to make some type of an adjustment. Like I just need to turn the burner down. Like that's it, right? I guess for anyone listening to this call, whatever your goal is, whatever it is you're going after, I just want you to know that that crazy alarm going off in your entire body, you're not the only one. This isn't taught on enough so people think like there's something wrong with me. That's what I thought. And if you're also very emotional like me, it's like 10 times what other people experience. I mean, it's like just on another level. It will have you in bed at night, literally crying yourself to sleep because you can't figure out what's wrong with you. And really, there's nothing wrong with you. You just have to learn how to sit down and ask yourself, okay, what do I have to lose versus what do I have to gain? If I can write that out on paper, I can usually see that the only thing I really have to lose is my ego and some time. But like, let's be real. We're all giving up time every single day doing stupid stuff. Like,
yeah.
let's not pretend right now that all of us are productive 24 hours a day because we're not. And what you have to gain is usually a list of like 30 things to make sure you take time every single day in some type of a morning routine. This is how I teach affirmations. You use your affirmations to retrain your alarm what to look for. So if I can prove to my subconscious mind with repetition, hey, when I chase this thing, there's really nothing to lose. I got all these things to gain. In the course of 20 or 30 days, I actually reprogram my brain to realize this is not an undiscovered territory. In fact, this is a safe territory that brings all of these wonderful things. And that's one of the reasons, Sarah, that consistency pays off because the longer you move forward, the more it says, hey, this isn't dangerous. This is a safe space.
You can do it.
Yes, exactly. So I know it's a little bit of a long rant, but when I heard your podcast is about like fear, I'm like, this is one of my most passionate things because I dealt with it so severely my first year. I mean, it was torturous, but I had thankfully already heard that podcast, at least already had learned that lesson. And I feel like I spent the last 6.5 years just getting that message deeper and deeper and deeper into my soul. To where now it's like, I'm going to do this natural. New thing. Smoke detector goes off and I'm like, nah, that's just the normal thing. Like, let's just go do this, you know?
Yep.
So that's my ending rant, if that's okay.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Facing Fear podcast. I'd love to know what you think, so please leave a review on Apple's podcast app, or you can go to the Facing Fear with Sarah Facebook and leave a review there as well. If you or someone you know has a story of overcoming fear to pursue their own definition of success, please submit yourself or that person as a guest. You can do that at facingfearwithsarah.com. Until next time, I'll see you in the social media world. You can find the show everywhere at Facing Fear with Sarah or communicate directly by emailing hello@facingfearwithsarah.com. You made it to the end of the episode, so I'm going to give you a little surprise. I was recently published in the Wildfire magazine. It is the first and only publication for and by those who are too young to be affected by breast cancer. And you can go get this issue at a discount. So visit wildfirecommunity.org and use code WILDFIRE15, or even better, use the link in my social media, in the show notes today. And if you use that particular link and the code, you can not only save yourself money, but you can also earn me a little bit of money, as I get a kickback from every purchase used under Sarah's link. So go check it out in the show notes. The issue is themed The New Normal. And this is relatable for anybody who's been through some kind of storm in life and is trying to figure out who they are and who and what and how and why life goes on afterwards. So check it out. Go visit wildfirecommunity.org. Use code WILDFIRE15 to save on your version of a print or digital copy of the latest issue called The New Normal. Thank you so, so much for your support.